You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June 30th, 2020, Dateline, Seattle, CHOP. That Capitol Hill organized protest in Seattle continues. They had another weekend of violence, as we reported previously, and before that, another prior weekend of violence. And the mayor of Seattle said, okay, I think we've had enough. We're going to have to admit we're going to need to break it up. But they haven't. They can't. Because some of the folks say, we're not leaving. They get themselves on the ground, kneeling or lying down on the ground in front of the bulldozers coming in to remove the barricades. They won't move, and they're still trying to decide, how are we going to do this? We had sending cops, the very thing that initiated some of this activity. See, what happens is when you begin to give to mob rule, you're held hostage as long as they want. Seattle Police Union Chief makes a point here. He says, we're seeing socialist political pandering becoming mainstream. He says, it's another example surrounding the conversations which elected officials and politicians across this nation are supporting when we talk about defunding the police. And it's not only in Seattle when it comes to that kind of attitude. Democrat leaders such as L.A. Mayor Garcetti already taking strides to cut money out of his department, $1 billion, and others are moving forward, and some of these school systems are dropping police resource officers from their schools because they don't want to have cops inside the school. They think it would be bad for the kids. What are you teaching the kids like that? I mean, when you do that, no wonder they're going to have some concerns and issues and fears of police officers. I've got another fear for you, if you want to count it as a fear. Dr. Anthony Fauci coming out today and saying, you need to listen to this. He is saying the U.S. needs to be watching for a new strain of swine flu coming out of China with the potential to become a pandemic. He said, so far we don't see it infecting humans, but it's exhibiting capabilities. And so it could be another pandemic, either due to mutations or an exchange or reassortment of genes. This is a swine flu. It's not COVID-19. But he's saying we need to watch for it. According to the New York Times, this new strain has been common on Chinese pig farms since 2016. And it does show up in human lungs and lungs, but apparently not causing a disease in the process. Well, a lot of cities, states, especially if they've got water areas around them, much less swimming pools, are making decisions. Do we open or do we not for this coming 4th of July weekend? Florida closing down the beaches pretty much everywhere. Started in Miami, now everywhere. Now in L.A. County. Now they're making a decision. They will close down the beaches in Los Angeles County from July 3rd to July 6th. And at the same time, the county sheriff says, I'm not going to enforce it. We'll see. In a review of the Black Lives Matter protest in L.A. recently, the public health director in L.A. says it's highly likely, they see a spike in COVID cases related to the protests and the riots. Thousands had filled the streets. A few wore masks. Most didn't, apparently, when you look at some of the video. And they certainly were not social distancing, and very unlikely that they were washing their hands routinely. And they're saying this spike we're seeing right now, they will say and going to blame it at this point upon COVID-19 and the lack of taking care. And in Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, the first openly gay mayor, had wanted to cancel the annual Gay Pride Parade because she was concerned about coronavirus. Well, the organizers didn't want to cancel it. They went ahead and did one anyway. So we need to watch, see what happens there. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says, I'm no longer going to use the former President Woodrow Wilson's desk at my office. Woodrow Wilson now under attack for racist-type things in the past. He was New Jersey's governor before becoming president in 1913. His desk is what the governors have been using. But now with all this new focus and everything, the new and current governor, Murphy, I'm not going to get near that desk. I mean, I sit behind that desk, someone might call me racist just for sitting there. With that, on that point, he's probably right.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And, of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So coming up in this hour, we're going to be focusing a lot on the white, black, brown, yellow racist issue. Are you racist? You're not racist. Can you be a racist of any color? Can you not be a racist if you are black? Can you be an over-the-board racist if you're a Trump supporter? I mean, it's all over the board right now. There's nothing in this that is making us better as a nation or unifying us. But I want to give you some of the arguments that are out there. You make your own decision on some things. I will never tell you how to think, but let me put some things in front of you. I mentioned in news and commentary about the New Jersey Governor, Phil Murphy. He's so worried that because the other day he was sitting at his desk as the New Jersey Governor, sitting there as a desk, the Woodrow Wilson desk, and posing for a photo op of some type. And apparently he got backlash right away. In fact, here's what he was doing. He was tweeting a photo of himself paying tribute to George Floyd while sitting behind the desk engraved with Woodrow Wilson's name. Woodrow Wilson is under attack, has been for a while, and had been previous to this, but it's accelerating now. In fact, the other day, Princeton University decided to drop the name of the institution that had his name for its public policy school in a residential college. What's going on here? Wilson, our 28th U.S. president. Facts are. He segregated federal workers in D.C. He blocked a Japanese proposal to include racial equality as a founding principle in the League of the Nations. And he apparently also hosted private White House screenings of Birth of a Nation, the Klan story. New York Times acknowledged that Wilson may not have spearheaded segregation initiatives. When criticized for them by black leaders and others, he doubled down, rationalizing segregation as a strategy to keep the racial peace at a benefit to blacks themselves. I know in today's time that sounds absolutely abhorrent and wrong totally. And it really was then. But just like slavery was wrong in the past, it was accepted. Not by everybody, obviously, not the slaves. They weren't accepting it. But that's the whole noise going on around Woodrow Wilson right now. And so obviously there's some clear issues there. But it's kind of like, how far back do we go with someone and start stripping them because of something they did or said and taking them away out of history? He's still going to stand down in history, will remain in history until they make some kind of decision to wipe out any evidence we had a 28th U.S. president. Then they'll start going through the list of the others. Donald Trump would be the one that many would want to see wiped out of history. So the desk had the Woodrow Wilson desk. The New Jersey governor said, I'm not going to sit behind that anymore. I don't want anyone to think that I might be like Woodrow Wilson. And Princeton dropping its title for its college, as it's known now, as will be known as First College. It was really, part of the Princeton School of Public and International Affairs. All right. Sorry, I'm having a little cough here. So anyway, they made that decision. They can make the decision. It's their school. The Board of Trustees decide to do it. But I look at how fast we're accelerating some of this stuff. I dealt extensively yesterday with the John Wayne statue in Orange County Airport. And John Wayne clearly made some racist statements back in a Playboy interview in the 1970s. He's not around now to say, I'm sorry, in that time I shouldn't have said it. And how many Democrats have we had say, yeah, I was in blackface in college, that was inappropriate, cultural misappropriation, I'm sorry. And they get a pass, they get forgiven every time. If John Wayne were here to say, I'm sorry for the remarks I made, because basically you're saying, I'm telling you, blacks should have any power until they have the capability to use it appropriately. That's kind of what he was saying. Well, John Wayne's not here to defend himself or withdraw that statement or apologize for it. He has a relative, I think it's his son, as a matter of fact, that's saying, I don't think he would believe that now, and even though he said it at that time, he was very much in helping minorities get opportunities in broadcast and in the movies. But now we come to Mount Rushmore, and President Trump is going to be there for a 4th of July celebration. Mount Rushmore, that iconic landmark honoring George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln, all white men. The Democrats have been looking at Mount Rushmore as a display of white supremacy. Now they're saying it's white supremacy. And they point out Trump has disrespected Native communities time and time again. They never have done that until now, because now they think it can be political fodder. And yes, there are members of some of the Indian tribes in the area that have been very upset. I think the Lakota tribe that says, yes, our land was taken from us and that was put up. It did not honor us. It didn't do anything for us. It was once a region sacred to our tribal communities. And then you took it and appropriated it for your U.S. of America. But now we're looking at everything else that can be tied around, and it is primarily because Donald Trump is president. I'm looking at a statement from a GOP pollster, Logan Dobson. And he's asking, would be curious to hear Democrats explain what part of shooting off fireworks at Mount Rushmore for the 4th of July, quote, glorifies white supremacy. The fireworks, Mount Rushmore itself, the 4th of July. Like, I think I know what they're implying here. The tweet was designed to tell their base something, but it'd be really instructive if they were actually made to answer the question. The tweet they sent out is that President Trump is going to hold a rally glorifying white supremacy at Mount Rushmore. Well, there are those on the left. I'll answer in part for that GOP pollster. There are those on the left that say, yeah, 4th of July, that's also racist. We're going to fight against that as well. It's this hate, this total hate for Trump. I'll give you a perfect example here. Back in April, when President Trump was in the Rose Garden talking with members of the Coronavirus Task Force and CEOs about trying to get information out, New York Magazine reporter Olivia Nuzzi asked this question. If an American president loses more Americans over the course of 6 weeks than died in the entirety of the Vietnam War, does he deserve to be reelected? That's not a question. That's an indictment. It's an ambush thing. She later defended it, saying, oh, no, I was not trying to provoke even. It was a legitimate inquiry. Well, what kind of answer was she going to get? Trump would say, you know, you're right. This COVID-19 thing has killed more Americans than the entirety of the Vietnam War. And so I'm not going to run for re-election. Is that what she expected? No, she knew that the question, and her in particular, would get play and coverage on the mainstream media over and over again. And she did. There was no validity to the question, only in validity of trying to make herself a central part of the story. And then I'll give you another side of Olivia Nuzzi. She has stepped forward to praise and mourn a gossip columnist, Betsy Rothstein, who recently passed away. And Olivia Nuzzi said, it was an honor to love Betsy. But let me give you another side from a CNN reporter. We're talking about a Daily Caller gossip columnist, Betsy Rothstein. This last Sunday, the woman lost a long battle with cancer. She was still young, but she lost that battle. As I just said, Olivia Nuzzi from The New Yorker said it was an honor to love Betsy. Tucker Carlson, on the other side of the political spectrum, said she was the most honest person I've ever met. So explain to me this. A CNN reporter, Nathan McDermott, made this remark. I didn't know Betsy, only read her occasionally. I'm sad she passed away, but there's clearly a divide in values political journalists hold when almost everybody mourning her online is a white reporter who covers D.C. He did get flashback. Betsy's friends and colleagues, not happy at all. One of them, the Daily Caller, sent word out, do us all a favor and log off forever. Even CNN exec Mac Dornick would not respond. Dornick said, I'm grieving, my friend, now. All I'm asking is you don't generalize it as a CNN position. And then there were others coming in. One of them saying, I'm mourning Betsy and I am black. She was a conservative for sure, but she was a deep human being. I will miss her. You see what that's pointing out? Some on the left are looking for anything that they can consider an advantage to destroy or attack. I'm sorry, please bear with me. To destroy or attack conservatives because of Trump primarily. And yet there are those in the left stream media here that were saying, as she said here, I'm mourning Betsy and I'm black. It's not a racial thing, but he wants to equate her death and because she's mourned only by whites, according to him. I don't know how much lower you can get. I really don't. I mean, could go back to, you remember Brother Dave Gardner, the comedian? Very off color, very offline many times, things that would not fly today. Well, I don't know, kind of like a white kid Rock, Chris Rock back then. And I remember him saying, my mom told me never say anything good about somebody, and if they're dead, he said, so I won't. He said, Eleanor Roosevelt is dead. Good. Well, for those who didn't like Eleanor Roosevelt, they thought that was funny. So that's pretty much what this columnist did. Betsy's dead. Good. And only mourned by those who are white. I know he didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm glad she's dead. But I'm telling you, to me, it falls in the same category. And then you get another Washington Post editor, Karen Atiya, who had declared in a tweet, white women are lucky. They were just calling them Karens and not calling for revenge. Atiya is a black woman, and she listed multiple things she feels, believes, white women are responsible for, and she told her 200,000 followers there are worse things could happen than simply being referred to Karen. That's apparently an emerging term for white women. If you call someone a Karen, well, they're a white woman and they're exercising white privilege and things of that nature. And she said, be thankful we're just calling you a Karen and not trying to get revenge. She then quickly took that tweet down, but immediately she got hammered by others. One saying, I think you just need to put your phone and your tweets away forever. And then we have the issue that happened with Fox Television and Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. Farrakhan, notorious anti-Semite, racist and homophobe. While I just told you about how the left is going after Trump for a white supremacy call out at Mount Rushmore, wait to hear what was going to happen on Fox. Stand by, please. You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before I tell you what a division of Fox Television was going to do, let me give you this story, and this deals with voter fraud. You know, President Trump has been very concerned, as many of us are, that if we're not careful, all these mail-in ballots will be subjected to a lot of voter fraud. We're not just talking about absentee voting, mail-in ballots. And, of course, with the COVID-19, so many are saying, oh, we got to do it. You want people to risk their lives to go vote? You can risk your life to go out in the street and protest? I'll bet you can go vote. I will bet you can go vote. That point aside, out of New Jersey comes word with two Jersey councilmen and two men linked to their campaigns are charged with election fraud, mail-in voting fraud, illegal possession of mail-in ballots. All of them were collecting mail-in ballots from voters in recent elections, delivering them without identifying who they were, taking others and filling them out and submitting them, and they did it repeatedly. Each of these guys faces up to 3 to 5 years in prison. And in fact, the situation was so rife with fraud in that Board of Elections county, 20% of the mail-in votes were thrown out by the Board of Elections. New Jersey voter fraud. One little look at voter fraud. If you had voter ID, that would cut it down. And if you stopped mass mail-ins, that would also help. All right, back in January this year, the main Fox network launched what it called Fox Soul, S-O-U-L, Soul, in an effort to reach African-American audiences, reaching beyond the conservative branding as we see Fox News. This Fox Soul program offers 4 hours of streaming program daily. Well, they decided on July 4th what they would do is feature a speech from Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. Anti-Semite, racist, homophobe. That's what they were going to put on. They thought that would be a good idea on July 4th. You already heard from me saying earlier how many of the left are upset that Trump's going to be at Mount Rushmore, claiming that that will be a white supremacist rally. And Fox Soul, apparently someone in the lineup decided, well, let's put Farrakhan over here. Well, they're not going to, thank God. In 2018, Farrakhan had compared Jews to termites. He'd also used the phrase death to America from time to time. What are they going to do? They're going to do what they should have originally considered and never should have thought about Farrakhan. They now say what we're going to do is air a program that day, as always scheduled. It will not be the Louis Farrakhan speech. Good. They say we're going to instead offer inspirational programming. Focus on, quote, the greatest black leaders and thinkers about racial relations and civil rights in America. That's an excellent idea. That's a great idea. That's what you should have been doing. Who the heck made the decision to put Farrakhan on? They thought that'd be a good idea? They thought it would be uniting the nation, especially for July 4th? Somebody's got some splaining to do there. But the good thing is that Farrakhan's not going to appear, and they're going to dedicate the 4 hours to black leaders who have made a great contribution to our nation, both for the nation in general, race relations, and civil rights. The NBA is proposing something that's going to change that sport. You watch. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
Well, if you've been true, well, if you've been true, you better look me in the eye. Well, all I smell is cheap perfume and gin and smoke.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I don't know if you're a big NBA fan. Maybe you see it occasionally. Maybe you know some of the players. Maybe you don't know anybody. Maybe you watch it just off and on. If it's on, you watch it. Otherwise, maybe not. Well, of course, not any sports is on yet, but they're getting ready to restart. And the Oklahoma City Thunder guard, Chris Paul, who's president of the National Basketball Players Association, told ESPN the other day, I hope you're listening, the players' union and the league are collaborating to allow players to wear jerseys with personalized social justice, social cause, or charity messages on the backs instead of their last names. They're going to do it during the upcoming restart of the NBA season. That's the plan. And Chris Paul, the NBA Players Association president, said, we're just trying to continue to shed light on the different social issues guys around our league continue to talk about day in and day out. People are saying that social justice will be off everybody's mind once basketball resumes. He said, with these jerseys, it doesn't go away. Now, taking the name of the players off the back of the jersey and putting up either something that refers to social justice or social cause or a charity message. And we're told that in these talks, players will not be ordered to put any particular statement on their back, and they can keep their name if they want. It's up to them. But I have to ask you, how many do you think are going to put out on their jersey a charity message or some social cause? Social cause may be more likely, but that's also tied to social justice. So those two you would probably see quite a bit. Social justice, social cause, maybe hashtag Black Lives Matter, maybe remember my name, things of that nature. I mean, you know, reference Floyd and others. Maybe a list of several who have been killed by police recently, whether or not justified. The co-owner of the Philadelphia 76ers had told the CNN anchor that, "I think the name change will help bring the country together." He thinks it'll bring them together. And again, the NBA Players Association president, Chris Paul of Oklahoma City Thunder, says no player will be forced or pressured to wear jerseys with a social justice message. Do you really think that's true? Do you think in the locker room, if you're not wearing something that deals with social justice, police justice, reform police, or George Floyd's name, things like that, do you think you're not going to get some flashback inside the locker room? Now, they say they've talked to numerous players, including some who are not black, who are all in on the jersey idea. Listen, there's no, you cannot deny this fact. The majority of players in the NBA are minority, specifically black. They play great. I mean, they can't spend money on some of the other sports, but they get good at the hoops wherever they can, and they're great players, and they earn that dollar, and they get paid handsomely for it for folks who will go and pay and support the NBA. That's great. I mean, that's the whole idea of free enterprise and doing what you want, that you love doing, and if you can make money, all the better. Most drivers in the NASCAR, all except for one, are white. And, of course, we have Bubba Wallace as one of the drivers. So some sports either cater to and our players and our audience and our dollars from such based on race. Not intentional, just the way it falls out. But when they say no player is going to be forced to wear a jersey with a social justice message, how many are going to show up wearing their name as currently scheduled or something that's not a social justice message? I'm looking at a piece written about this by Red State. The author is, Mike Miller. And this piece was put in front of me by our boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, Andrew. I had not seen this. He said, "Have you seen it?" I said, "I had not." So I appreciate him sending it to me. Red State is a conservative outlet. I'll point that out to you. But it's dealt with pretty much on the facts of this story. But Mike Miller, of course, being the author, adds some of his own comments. He also believes that, yeah, there'll be pressure. There'll be pressure on these players. You do wear something that's a hashtag that references social justice or otherwise. And he said, look at the firestorm created by New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Remember when Drew Brees made his remarks about love and respect for the American flag, saying, quote, "I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country." And he said he did so because he had relatives who had served in World War II and Vietnam and Korea. And he said, I look at what they did. I will never agree with anybody, in his words, disrespecting the flag, which I guess would equate to some taking a knee instead of standing at attention during the national anthem. Well, there came a lot of pressure, including from other NFL players, including members of the New Orleans Saints. Brees immediately came rushing out with apologies. Two of them, two apologies. The first, he said, "I was wrong." And apparently word got to him, that's not enough. So he came out with another and said, "I will do better." And then his wife also had to get involved and say something. Because we're at a point, my friend, we're at a point in this nation that if you don't stand on someone's side over here, then you've got to be against them. I remember a police chief in Houston, Texas, Herman Short. And I was constantly doing stories investigating police corruption, misdeeds, things of this nature. And I went in to see him on one of his last days in office. He didn't like me, and I didn't particularly like him. I didn't like the way he ran the operation because I thought he was turning a blind eye to some of the stuff that should be corrected. But anyway, we went in, and I said, "Your problem, Chief, is that you think if I'm not wearing a uniform, I'm against you in police, and I'm not. And he just kind of looked at me like, you're an idiot, Larry, which that's his opinion. Probably right. Many of you would agree. But bottom line is the attitude that unless you are wearing blue, then you're an opponent of police. That's not so. That's not so. I don't have to be a police officer to support police. I don't have to be a white person, a black person, to say I know racial complaints and so forth. I mean, race arguments, slander, slurs go on both sides, and it's wrong on either side. But Drew Brees got pushed in that corner, and he quickly had to come out and say, don't put me in that corner, then I'm racist. So now let me take you to another NBA player story. Ja Morant, number 12, Memphis Grizzlies. Number 12. One of his fans had sent to him, I think you should have on your jersey, F12. That's a popular anti-police message. Then Morant reposted and said, I want that on my jersey. In other words, he wants on his jersey. So we're talking about social justice statements, things like that that might be put on there. He wants on his jersey, basically saying, F the police. That's what he wants, at least judging by that tweet. Well, of course, that anti-police message got him into some trouble. And he came out instead. I want to first apologize for reposting something that didn't clearly convey, accurately convey what I wanted to share. He said, my post was intended to focus on the bad cops who get away with the murder of unarmed black men and women and those who continue to harass peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters. He said, I know there's some good cops 12 out there. I know some, fewer family. I'm thankful for the cops at Murray State who took care of me, the cops who continue to watch over me with the Grizzlies. And he concluded, we need caps. We need good cops to step in and make sure other cops are not abusing their power. Well, I fully agree with that. I fully agree. The Grizzlies did put out Morant's apology on Twitter, saying, pay attention to the apology, not what happened previously. Well, I want to break the apology down just briefly for a moment. He said the post was intended when he said F police, which is what he wanted on his jersey. Only it would read F12 because that'd be the same reference. He said, my post was intended to focus on bad cops. Well, when you throw it out like that, F cops, that's all the cops. All cops. I think now he should realize that. You can't make a blanket statement like that. That would be like profiling a black man walking down the street. Oh, he's walking in this street. He must be something wrong. Or a black teenager driving a nice car. It must have stolen. You jump to stereotypes like that. That's wrong. And he wants to say, I meant to focus only on bad cops. Well, when you say F police, you put all of them under that. And then he said, bad cops who get away with the murder of unarmed black men and women. First of all, murder might be accurate in some of the cases. In some cases, it may be self-defense. It may still be a death, but it doesn't mean murder. This generalization, again, does not do anything for our nation. With those stories in mind and the attitude, both within the NBA now saying you can put other causes on your jersey if you want and what Morant originally did but now backs off, I want to share a story of another player. And I like this story coming up to really put all of this in context. I think this coming up story will actually be something that could unify, not what the NBA is planning on doing and some of the players would do. We'll take a short break, and I'll come back with that story.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Thank you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We never know when a young person dies, by whatever means, what they would have achieved, what they might have done. They die in a car wreck. They die by some swimming pool accident. Maybe an accidental hunting accident. We will never know. We will never know how many of those babies that are aborted might have turned into someone that could have solved a lot of our issues, not only in the nation but around the world, and maybe found the cures for diseases we can't seem to find yet. We do know this, for instance, on facts. The abortion rate for black women is almost 5 times that for white women. So imagine how many young black children never got a chance at life and what they might have achieved. And I think there is such a loss that you can never know, but it doesn't really make any difference on race. It's just the fact that it's a life cut short, by whatever means. And some live to a point in their life where they're showing so much potential of something they could do, either in a sport or maybe the field of medicine or someone who could really help unite our country and get rid of racism. They're young, and you can see they've got the spark and they've got the drive and they have the intellect and they have the soul and they have the heart to make things better. And then they're killed in a traffic wreck or violence. And in particular in our black communities, with the number of children, innocent children, shot down in gang warfares. We've had 3 recently over Chicago in the last 2 weeks. A 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, a 13-year-old girl dancing with her mother. In the New York area, in the Bronx, there's a 17-year-old named Brandon Hendricks. Brandon Hendricks had graduated from, he's now, I said 17, he had graduated from James Monroe High School just last week. He was on the basketball team at the school. The coach had already said, this guy, he's going to be great. Played here for 3 years. He went to Fordham Prep as a freshman. I mean, that's where he's going to end up going, but he may end up going to junior college at West Hills College, California first. Still working it out. But the past season, he averaged 12 points, 6 assists, 2 steals per game as a point guard. Coach said he's an athlete, a leader, charming. Everybody loved him. He was a people's person. He wasn't a street kid. He was doing everything right in his life. He was at a party the other night. A birthday party. Not meant to be anything bad or nasty. It was a birthday party. He was with his friend, Ahmad Singleton. And Singleton, who's 18, said, "In the blink of an eye, me and my friends are running away because shots started going off. And I turn around, and Brandon says, 'I got hit. I got hit.' He said, 'I grabbed him, said, we can't stop here. More shots are going off.' He said, 'We stopped at the steps, sat down. He started wobbling. I sat him down. My friends took off his shirt. I'm holding him, and I'm talking to him. Said, 'You're good, bro. You good?' He said, 'Yeah, yeah, I'm okay.' He said he tried to smile. He tried to talk to me. He said, 'I'm good, I'm good.' And then he said, because he calls Ahmad Bam, he said, 'Bam, I love you. Call my mom.' And Bam said, Brandon just closed his eyes. He didn't say anything else after that. That was it. There was a candle lighting vigil near his home in the Bronx last night. Drew more than 200 people. They're going to have another remembrance tonight. Witnesses say, yeah, he had been in a verbal dispute before the shooting. Or one of them, his friend Brandon had been in that verbal dispute. But Brandon himself was just a bystander. And they all acknowledge he was a fierce competitor, supportive guy. That bullet wasn't meant for him. Wrong place, wrong time. All of them saying most of them were basketball players. They had nothing to do with the streets. And I should add this. Brandon not only was a standout student athlete, he was captain of the basketball team over the past 2 years. The James Monroe coach, basketball coach, says it's hard because you can't bring him back. He had so much promise. It's hard to deal with the senseless violence that plagues our streets. It does. Who knows what he would have achieved? He might have gone on to become a great basketball player, become pro, or maybe he would have changed and become a doctor or a lab technician, a researcher that found something. We will never know. And he'll never get a chance to show us. And so many stories are like that across the nation. I thank you for joining us. We will be back tomorrow. So put it on your calendar. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.